Even when I'm over here, I can hear myself pretty nice. I don't even need to be right up on it. Are we going?
That's what that sound means.
Ooh. All right, all right, all right. Welcome to the Pixel Punishers Podcast, Episode 6. I am Tony Roseland. Across from me, as always, our producer, Mr. Chase Warnick. What's up, brother?
Ni hao.
Ni hao?
Ni hao.
I forgot to look up something unique about Canada this week. You got anything?
Just off the top of my head?
Yeah. Do you know anything interesting about Canada? That
I heard that like the only inhabitable part of Canada is like 20% of Canada.
Okay. So, and on the line here also from the only 20% inhabitable portion of Canada, our buddy, Mr. Barry Mack. What's up, dude?
Hi, guys. It's very nice to be here in the studio with you tonight. And instead of running through a cable into number 3 on the back of the...
That's number 5.
Nope. Is that 5?
No, you're usually on like number 6.
Oh, shit. Well, yeah. It looks like number 3 to me. I don't know my left from my right, though.
You're moving up in the world.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
You're moving up in the world.
I feel nice. Yeah. I feel nice. I feel good. It's nice to be here.
Right on.
Also, it's going to be so hot in here at the end of this.
Yeah, yeah. We turned the HVAC off for this because it puts some background noise, and so we have to turn it off. And now there's 4 of us sweating our asses off in this hot box tonight. So the 4th person... The unidentified person in the room, Mr. Paul Terrell.
Hello.
What's up, dude?
Hey, man. I'm doing well.
Paul, when I get to
feels
see
good.
You.
It feels good to be here. You know that?
When I get to see your face and smell your musk.
That's not weird at all.
It exudes from me.
It does.
You're a little ways away from me.
It does. And you have a glow about you that I just...
like that's the JC aura. Mm-hmm. For the listeners, since you can't see him, if you don't know who Paul Terrell is, he looks an awful lot like Jesus Christ.
Just more real.
Yeah.
It's true.
He's got the beard and the hair, and he's about, what, how tall are you?
6'5".
6'5". You look much taller. You carry yourself much taller.
I usually wear boots, so.
Well, that helps. You wear 3-inch heels?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that does it then. So, you know, an average of 6'8", then. Anyway, so we got Paul here, we got Barry here, Chase and I are here, we're all here. It's one big happy family in the studio tonight, so normally we're piping people in and everything else. Hopefully the audio sounds pretty good. Chase is on it, so.
I think it does, yeah.
Yeah, well.
You can't hear it, but.
We'll be the judge tomorrow after the beers wear off and we re-listen to the whole thing through our car stereos or headphones, so. Yeah. So far, so good. The subscribers are growing. We have 6 episodes. The FCC hasn't shut us down yet, so.
Nope.
I don't think they can.
No, they can't.
I don't know,
this
man.
We're pirate radio station, man. We can do whatever.
Is that basically
we want.
What this is?
We can do anything, but we can't kill somebody, but. Yeah.
How could they prove it, though? I mean, it's radio, right? It's audio only.
Oh, that's
so.
True. We could fake it.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know for sure.
We got to get more sound effects on that board over there where you're like, you smash a dude. Like a, yeah, choking sounds. And.
Well, okay, so before we dive too deep, why don't we let Paul introduce himself. Tell us a little about who you are, what your background is, that kind of stuff. So if you haven't listened to the podcast, which you probably haven't because, you know, you're busy doing other shit, and it's not that good of a podcast, really. So, why
Tony,
would you?
Tony,
not well, yet.
Why
not
are you being
yet,
so mean to our podcast? I happen to like it. I usually listen to it on repeat from like Monday morning until Sunday night.
That's because you're on it.
Yeah, yeah. I want to hear my own voice.
Do you fall asleep to the sound of your own voice?
I do. Yeah.
Anyway, we try not to do a typical interview style of the guests, rather than just sitting here asking you a bunch of questions and interviewing you, which we will do at some point in time tonight. We'll be asking questions, but we try to make it a much broader, loosely related to photography or the creative field in some way. But, you know, in the past, we've talked about what your favorite fertilizer is or, you know, what's your favorite whatever, paint color. It doesn't matter. It could be anything tonight. It's up for you. Got a baby on the way, so maybe we'll be talking about what you painted the nursery. I don't know. I don't know where this is going to go. Could get crazy.
Did you paint the nursery?
I mean, my wife did. Yeah.
Did you guys use Benjamin?
You made your wife paint the nursery, dude?
Wow. Pre-pregnancy.
You made a pregnant woman paint her own nursery?
Pre-pregnancy.
Pre-pregnancy. Yeah.
Hey, babe. Yeah.
She pretty much.
I'm gonna be knocking you up. You better get in there and paint that bedroom. Daddy's gonna do some work later tonight. Here's a brush and a roller. Get to work.
Well, I have actually listened to a bit of the podcast. I can't say that I've listened to everything, but to answer your question, I'm a graphic designer. Been in all aspects of the field, just about. Worked for print shops, worked in corporate, worked in agencies, worked for Mr. Tony Roseland as a brand manager, and now I am full-time freelance graphic designer.
Right on, man. Well, it's good to have you, as always. Hanging out with Paul Terrell is a blast, and lots of laughs, and plus he brought beer, so we couldn't really say no.
Speaking of that, can someone help me with something?
Yeah, I got you.
Put something in your mouth.
Okay, what? Yeah, no, here.
Here's a milkshake.
I had to earn my spot onto this podcast with beer.
You bought your way in, so. Yeah.
Bribes, welcome, right? Center columns,
maybe? Yeah. So you're doing your freelance now. What are your clients mostly consist of? Who are you working for?
I have a pretty wide range. I've got everything from skincare to medical to restaurant groups to, you know, a lot of local Spokane companies. I've got a reach outside of Spokane now a little bit. Some Seattle, some California companies. Wide range. I don't really have a niche target in mind. As long as you're not an asshole and you pay your bills, I'm usually pretty good with it, you know?
What kind of work are you doing? Is it all graphic design? Are you doing web design? What is what's your area of expertise these days?
A lot of branding and print media primarily, but I do some websites. Mostly focus on a lot of new companies or companies rebranding and doing their logo process, branding packages, and then a lot of print media for them. Anything from business cards, brochures, portfolios, catalogs, packaging, that kind of stuff. And then with the right client, I'll do some website stuff too. It's just kind of depends on the client.
Cool. So we'll come back to Paul with questions and things later. I have some questions. Barry's got some. I know that some are coming in from the interwebs. We're actually going Instagram live tonight for as long as my phone is alive and doesn't die on us. So if you have questions, blast them in through there or DM us, and we'll ask Paul on the air here. You heard what his scope of expertise is, so maybe try to keep it within somewhere ballpark in that, you know. So he also is pretty knowledgeable on music. I'm always impressed with that. So maybe if you want to know, you know, anything about that. So let's see. What have you been up to this week? Let's see. You came down when,
Barry? Wednesday.
Wednesday. And what's going on? How's our week been going so far?
It was a good week. We spent 3 days, 2 days, 3 days in Arizona hosting our latest workshop with a great bunch. And had two amazing houses and a great group and a lot of laughs. Our rap party was pretty damn hilarious.
That was a good time.
About 15 rounds of Rocka Red Bulls for the table, and everybody was in stitches and tears, and it was fun, man. It was a really good group.
Yeah, yeah, awesome, except for the sitting in the airport for 5 or 6 hours yesterday.
I had fun because I drank a bunch of beer and ate a sandwich and had some chips.
All right.
I like chips.
Chase, what'd you do this week?
Same thing.
All right. You know what I don't like, though? I don't like cilantro. You know,
you
I
too.
Yeah. Wait, no one likes cilantro.
You I too. Like cilantro.
What no, you don't.
We got team cilantro on this side and team anti-cilantro.
Wait, you like cilantro?
Fuck yeah, I like cilantro.
Fuck cilantro. That's nasty.
Dude, come on.
He made an analogy tonight. It's like chewing on batteries. Exactly right. It's like
you know, like a 9-volt battery and you zap it on your tongue?
That's what cilantro feels cilantro. Like.
100% of
the
times.
You're the
100%.
You're the ones.
That's what it feels
and
like.
And also, apparently not everybody's pee stinks when they eat asparagus. You have to have like a special enzyme. Do you get the stinky pee when you eat asparagus?
I'm pretty sure everybody gets that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true. I think that you got to have the right gene to get the stinky pee.
I don't know if that's true.
I feel like that's pretty false.
Is that false?
That came from the other 80% of Canada.
Also, the earth is flat.
The White Walkers up there in the north.
The wildlings.
Yeah, I don't really like the smell of asparagus pee that much.
I don't like
the best that. Is when you forget the ate asparagus and then you maybe go drink some beers and then you end up in the bathroom taking a whiz
or
and
beets.
I don't eat beets. You eat beets too?
I like beets.
Jesus.
Beets don't make turns your pee everything.
No, yeah, but red, when you forget, and then
you eat a lot of beets, turns a pee red, turns your
turn your doo-doo red,
when it comes out
too?
The other end, it's definitely red. Yeah. You look like your asshole's bleeding.
Yeah. You freak out for a minute. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. When you forget.
You're like, oh, my God.
Good Lord.
What's happening?
If you forget that you had beets, and then you really, you're like, oh.
So when you're eating beets and asparagus, you got to really make sure that you're aware that that happened at some point. You've got to
write it on your
hand
or something.
Yeah, write
it on
your hand.
Memento, like putting notes on the mirror and everything.
Maybe set yourself a reminder in your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the workshop went off good, man. I think people were happy.
I had a good time, man.
Well, it's not up to us.
I probably made the best batch of Bloody Marys.
It was so delicious.
It was.
I drank half of it.
Sad.
And Chase started drinking them right out of the thing.
Yeah.
He had the spout in the air, and he was just underneath the spout.
Wheezing the juice.
Feeling really good about 11 o'clock.
I started skipping all the Instagram feed. Like, when you guys would come up, I'm like, fuck you guys. Yeah. I don't want to be there.
And the secret ingredient to a badass Bloody Mary is about, well, we were making how many gallons of that? Was it?
I think it was a 50-gallon barrel.
50-gallon barrel. Yeah, you got to put red wine.
It was a 50-gallon drum, I'm pretty sure.
You got to put red wine in there. Trick. I like put that. Some Shiraz
you
in there.
You put a case of red wine right into the barrel.
A box of wine.
Per 50 gallons. Yeah,
the best wine comes in boxes.
That's amazing.
I have a keg of wine now.
Does it come? It comes out of your bar dispenser, right?
Yeah. I just got it a couple days ago.
Did you ever get underneath the nozzle and just let it rip?
I haven't yet. I just hooked it up, and that probably should have been the first thing I did.
We should go there tonight and do
Wheezing
that.
Off the tap.
Wheeze the juice.
Yeah, you should put one of the, you should just put a rubber hose to the tap that you can sit on the couch and just keep your thumb over the hole. Just when you're ready for a shot, you're just like a camelback. It'll be amazing. All right.
I'm having fun.
Yeah, it's good times. This is weird because usually I can steer this thing pretty well, but you're not here.
Yeah.
And I didn't just spend the last 3 days with the two of you, so it's kind of awkward tonight. So mm-hmm. I'm doing my best. Plus, I don't have headphones, so I can't hear anything.
We can trade, you know, we can go back and forth. And like,
can you not hear us?
I feel like I got the.
I can, mic but it doesn't have the same effect. It
doesn't have the same effect.
We saw something cool in Scottsdale yesterday. we were returning our rental van, and then we got a ride back to the airport. In this fabulous Kia minivan, and there was a guy that was, he was upset. I don't know why he was so upset, but he ran and sprinted across the intersection and then jumped through the air and karate kicked like Liu Kang and then whipped a rock at a pigeon. I think he hit it. And then somehow, man, that guy had good aim because he whipped that phone book at the sign, smashed off the sign. He was having a hard day, but it was nice to watch.
Who's Liu Kang for those people who are younger than 40?
People don't know who Liu Kang is?
Some people probably don't. I ran into people today who didn't know who Alanis Morissette was.
Come on.
What?
Yeah.
She's
shitty
anyways.
Some of the talent we had at our shoot today, they had no idea who that was.
Isn't she the pride of Canada?
No, that's
Ryan Reynolds.
That's me. It goes me and then Justin Bieber and then like Drake.
And then Alanis Morissette?
No, then Ryan Reynolds.
She's not Canadian?
She's Canadian, yeah.
Oh, okay, well then.
Well, yeah, she's not the pride of Canada. We don't really care about her.
The listeners need to know that she's part of that 20%.
Yeah, Liu Kang.
I want to know.
Liu Kang is Mortal Kombat?
He was in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
And if I got that wrong, if it was Street Fighter, then we look like idiots.
Liu Kang. I think it was Mortal
Kombat. I look like an idiot. Yeah, yeah.
It was Mortal Kombat, yeah.
Yeah.
You got the Google machine in front of you.
Did you just bail on headphones too? You're like,
I did. Yeah.
Fuck it, man. Everybody's going.
They're like,
he also bailed on the Google that's right in front of him to figure out who Liu Kang is, just in case.
Yeah, we got a giant TV in here.
Is it
just look it up?
Do you know what I realized about the MacBook Pro today with the trackpad? You can't if you happen to wrap yourself in like a duvetine, you cannot. It won't work.
Whoa, what's duvetine?
Like you can't.
What?
No, you can't touch the trackpad with gloves on. It doesn't know you're touching it.
What the hell? Your wife?
I'm not shitting you.
Okay.
That's a pro tip for if you're out there trying to work on your MacBook Pro
and you wrap yourself with Duvetine.
And you wrap yourself with Duvetine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's part of his furry costume. This is he's got Duvetine gloves. He dresses up as the Duvetine rabbit. All right. So
this is weird.
Probably the least entertaining podcast for people who aren't involved in it.
Just have another beer. We'll get there.
Good for me.
We spent too much time with each other over the last three days.
The problem is everybody else listening is like, what are these idiots talking about? Yeah. So,
well, I wasn't there, so I feel like it's going all right. You know? And I wasn't even there, so everybody listening wasn't there.
I feel like it's
there.
Going all right.
Yeah.
All right, so do we have questions there? Do I have to scroll through those to look at them?
Maybe if you want
to. I don't have glasses on, so I won't be able to see shit.
I don't have any glasses on.
I can't. There's questions, but I can't see it.
Let me go back through these.
You laugh. You just turned 40. I'll talk to me in 5 years.
So tell me where were the hot spots? Where did everybody come from this workshop? You got some people from.
We had all two over? Canucks.
Two Canucks.
Were
there three?
Well, including me. There was Lindsay from Manitoba and Jimmy from.
That's right.
Saskatchewan.
Yeah, and then we had there was Donovan was from Maryland. We had
Ohio.
Alabama. Yeah, that was
California. Sam was from California.
Yeah. All over the country, man. Yeah. You know, North America, all over North America, really. So it was, we didn't have anybody outside of North America. Like we've in the past, we've had people come from all over the freaking place. But this time was a really good crowd. It was smaller. We only did 11 people in this class versus like the last ones we did, 20, 24, something like that. So much smaller group, but I think it worked good because we got more one-on-one time with all of them. And they also weren't like tripping over each other when they got a chance to shoot for portfolio work at these houses because they were pretty cool places. It went good. A little bit different format that we've done in the past because we didn't use a classroom. We did the classroom portion in the Airbnb that we were staying. And everybody just kind of grabbed a beer or a Bloody Mary, sat around the TV. There was a giant TV in there. We just streamed to that with AirPlay or whatever. Yeah, and nice. Barry did some retouching on that, and it worked out really good. So I think it went well. Everybody seemed really happy. We've gotten some good reviews back on it already. So
I was showing people how to stroke the path.
Everybody chuckled whenever you said stroke the path.
I know. It isn't a... Because
he says it like it's something obscene.
No, I don't. I say it.
Stroke the path.
I'm like, okay, what we're going to do here now, we're going to stroke the path.
The hand gestures didn't make it less obscene either. So
do you know what Tony tried to do to me? He tried to set me up and it didn't work.
He left his MacBook unattended, so I set his browser homepage to Pornhub so that when he opened it in front of the class, that's what would come up on his browser.
It didn't work.
And I asked him in class, I'm like, hey, can you look this up real quick? And he opened his browser. I was like, okay, here it comes. And Chase got his phone out. He was ready to record it and everything. And some reason it didn't work. I think he found it and changed it.
No.
I think he probably was on Pornhub because I did it the day before. So that night he got on Pornhub.
Yeah.
He opened his browser and was like, Oh shit, I didn't realize this was set as my homepage. I better change that.
Yeah.
I think you had set the current homepage, but when you set Safari opens with a new window, it like new windows open to the favorites instead of homepage.
I screwed it up.
Next one though.
Yeah, I'll get you on the next one.
Someone has a question for Paul. They want to know. Yeah, we actually were talking about this. Where should someone start with their marketing? Should they start with a logo? Should they start with a website? Where do they start, Paul? Where would you say? What do you
Craigslist.
Say? Craigslist.
Craigslist is definitely.
Is that where they find you? It's on Craigslist?
That would be the marketing genius, right? Like just get all my clients and they'd all pay $8 a logo and it'd be perfect.
Mm. Yeah, but think of the effort you'd have to put in the logo. You probably use the same logo for everybody.
Where to start? Gosh, that's tough.
Just one aperture. Just sending out to all the photographers.
If we're going...
Okay, I'm not doing this anymore. I can't concentrate. I'm gonna.
But are there questions we need to answer? There's a lot of questions.
There's a few. I just don't want to do this anymore.
It is very distracting.
I can't enjoy myself.
I can't read it. I don't have glasses on.
And there's only eight people in here. Like this.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't.
There were 100.
And someone heard me indicating that we might shut this down. They left. Now we got 7.
All right, end it.
All right, we're
done.
I can't. I mean, bye. It was fun.
Bye, Felicia.
Well, they can listen. 70. They can listen when
oh shit.
Oh, shit.
You dropped your phone on the ground today and almost smashed this
table. Wobble. That sucked, man. Dropped my phone.
Where to start in marketing? You think that's a...
Yeah, we probably should come back to that since we asked you about 15 minutes ago.
It's a bit heavy.
Yeah.
It's a little heavy. Sorry.
So basically, we were talking about this today. We got somebody who's gotten into business, and they're at the point now where they're ready to get off of Facebook, and they need to actually do some kind of branding for their business or marketing for their business of some sort. Facebook aside, what is the best way for them to go about it? Should they spend money and have someone design a logo? Should they spend the money to have someone come up with a whole series, like a branding package? Should they hire an agency to help them put together these things? I mean, what is your recommendation for somebody, how do they come up with a budget for this stuff?
The first thing they should do is look up my website, Paul Terrell Design. pterrell.com. No, I think it's different for everybody. I don't subscribe to a uniform decision for every single business. I think that your logo and brand matters. And really, you know, when you talk brand, it's not just your logo. It's, you know, if you look on your website, for example, Tony, you've got, or Barry, either site, you've got very consistent imagery, very consistent approach to how you show your images. And that's a brand, right? People know your style. And so I think, you know, there's that aspect, but definitely having some sort of consistency in image, whether that's a true logo or having just your name or whatever that ends up being. But I think that whatever you choose needs to be consistent. That's, you know, starting there, if it's your first go and you don't want to spend a bunch of money on a logo or an agency or any of that, at least make what you do have consistent.
Well, give me an example of consistent. You mean for color or just style or design all of the, or font, yeah, or all of the above?
All the above, yeah. So obviously, hopefully your work is getting better and is at a place where you can present good quality imagery, assuming it's a photographer that's asking there. The way that you present it, when you put it out to social media or whatever your avenues might be, I think that
he got derailed for a second.
I got distracted.
It's not your fault though. It's not your fault. They were waving and they were communicating in sign language, and I got thrown off. And then I saw you getting thrown off.
Called for a fair catch. Yeah, I don't know what's happening there.
I was telling him to steal home.
Yeah. As far as consistency. So yeah, the method you do it, I think that it can be social media. It can be actual paid. It can be free. I've seen people very, very successful just doing free posts, consistent posts with the same voice, same type of imagery. And, you know, if you're going to go with a logo or just your name or whatever it is, make sure it looks the same everywhere. Same format, same color, same size, shape, those types of things. Especially early on, if you're able to develop and work with a logo designer and really make something that's something that you can grab onto and be more of a full logo package and logo branding package, then that's a whole different story and where to take it. But early on, I think that anybody just kind of creating that consistent look and consistent feel and consistent voice.
Can you describe branding for our listeners? I think that people a lot of times just assume that branding means a logo, but there's a lot more to branding or building a brand than just a logo. So yeah. what does a brand encompass? How do you define a brand?
It really is tough to describe fully, especially to the people that don't. The first thing, like you said, they want to say is, you know, what's your brand? Oh, here's my logo. And it's like, well, kind of going back to the consistency thing and how you present your work, what your voice is, the way you speak. You can go to this podcast and every single podcast is got E for explicit, right? That's part of your voice. It's part of who you are. It's part of, you know, your social media, the way that you speak as well, coming, you know, what that voice is. It's your colors, it's your studio, it's your the way that you present yourself to your client base. So it's really, you know, if you walk into a store and you don't see the logo outside, you go into a, you know, Apple store, for example, you do not have to see the logo anywhere, and you know exactly where you are. You don't have to see an iMac or a MacBook Pro or any devices anywhere, and you would know exactly where you are every single time. That's the epitome of branding. That's showing that you are something beyond your logo.
So the personality of a business.
Absolutely.
Well, even if you went to the Apple store and you took the Apple logo off of every single device in there, including the uniforms they wear, if you just saw the wooden tables, the glass front, the green shirts, you know exactly where you are, or the blue shirts, or whatever happens to be that week.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and that's, it's amazing.
That's really what branding comes down to, and that's the easiest way to describe it to somebody who's not really following along with my gibberish, is if you can go into some place or view something and you know exactly what it is before seeing that logo, then they've been successful with their branding.
Yeah.
When I go to Pizza Hut, they wouldn't even have to put a logo on anything. But when I saw the buffet with those pitchers of soda, I know exactly where I am. Jesus. That's success in branding right
super
there.
Super zoom that.
Are you having pizza?
And that's part of my brand. Pizza is part of my brand. People know me. Yeah. Like, you even say that. You love my super zoom heart on pizza.
I love it every time.
Folks love it. They just sit around, they watch that.
I'd laugh. That is some of the best content in all the internet, I think.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I've been working. It's part of my branding strategy.
How many clients you got?
How's that working for you?
I'll let you tally them up. Well,
yeah. Get back to us. Figure it out. Here's a pad and paper.
Don't worry. It's going to come around, and soon I'm going to have my own. One day, people are going to give me free pizza, I think.
One day. That's what you aspire to.
I just bought you pizza today. What are you talking about? You got free pizza, so I guess it's working.
Yeah, pizza today.
It is
you
working.
Pizza like twice in 3 days when we were in Arizona.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of super zooms.
Yeah. Have you seen all my super zooms lately? Yeah.
A lot lately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't, and pepperoni. When I miss them, I get upset. It's always pepperoni and cheese until it's not, and then.
You don't super zoom those.
I won't super zoom that shit, no. And please don't put pineapple on your pizza, guys.
It's disgusting.
What's next?
I'll
grapes?
Eat it. I'll eat it.
You like cilantro, though, and beets.
It's like food.
It doesn't count.
I've had beets on pizza before.
What?
They don't do that. Did you do it at home?
It's happened, no.
Yeah, like a South Korean.
Cauliflower
do something like
crust
that,
with beets. Beets and like artichokes.
Ooh, I like
beets,
artichokes.
Beets, bears.
I like artichoke dip.
I feel like we're...
We're right on topic. This is exactly how this podcast goes.
Yeah, here we go again.
Back to pizza.
That's exactly how it goes. So somebody asked a question. I'm going to bounce questions in here as I can remember them. And we'll also ask questions to Paul that like maybe don't relate to anything else. So somebody asked, curious if you guys shoot RAW on iPhone for family or scouting pics. If so, what's your favorite camera app that supports RAW?
Is there RAW on the iPhone?
Well, that was his follow-up, is what is your favorite camera app that supports RAW? So I do not. I just shoot with what's on here because I'm lazy, and it does a good job.
Is there actually a RAW? Like, can it capture RAW?
I have no idea.
Hmm. Yeah, I thought the purpose of it was just to be quick and easy, and if you want to actually edit and go aggressive, then you don't use the phone.
Yeah, exactly. I turn it on, I hit the camera app, and I hit the snap. Yeah. That's all I do.
Documentation. They are solid cameras, don't get me wrong, but
I don't know if it's actually RAW that's capturing, and my guess is it's like a flat file.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? It's not really RAW, it's just flattening everything out to give you, like you can do on video for cameras that don't capture in...
Like log, basically.
Like log footage, right. So you're just capturing in basically a flat profile that's similar to log. And I don't know, maybe it does capture RAW, but it seems like you would have that functionality built into the phone if it could. You wouldn't need a separate app for that. So I don't know. I don't use one. Does anybody else here?
Nope.
So I got no input on that, dude. Sorry. What else do we have? Somebody was asking, shooting with the grip on the R. I do shoot with the grip on the R. I like it because it gives me extra battery, and I hate changing batteries, which is one of the reasons I liked the Sony, because it would charge off the USB-C cable, and then the 1DX2 had that giant battery that would last half the day. And so then you go to this camera, and you know the two batteries definitely helps. We still have to change batteries out, but only half as often. So how about you?
I want the grip. I don't have it, no. And I have a little bit of beef with the general public opinion of the EOS R, and I don't understand. Last week they had announced that 85mm 1.2, which is a beautiful piece of glass, and then people start to talk about, I can't wait until there's actually a good pro mirrorless from Canon to put that on. And that's offensive to me because it's a damn good camera. And what do they want? Do they want speed? Do they want weather sealing? I don't understand where it's coming up short, where it's people are hating on it so bad. Meanwhile, every single article on the internet is, a front page of Petapixel today was, I finally switched to Sony and brought five of my friends with me. Like, what? I don't understand. What's happening?
How is that a pro camera, but the EOS R is not? Nobody seems to have a problem with the Sonys, but they have a major problem with the EOS R.
There's no weather sealing on an A7.
No, but and who the hell needs that anyway? Who's out shooting in that shitty ass weather? That's when I pack up and go home.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's shooting a wedding in shitty ass pouring down rain. Mm-hmm. Nobody's shooting architecture and pouring down rain. Nobody's doing a senior session in that kind of stuff.
Maybe
journalism or some kind of adventure sports, you know, or expedition photographer or something, which are a very small portion of the community who's using these cameras. So I don't understand what everybody's upset about.
It's offensive.
The first in the generation too. Like they're not going to make any improvements in the next one.
No one's beating up on the Nikon mirrorless. Nobody's beating up on that. No one's beating up on
it. Because nobody's using it.
Well, there
that's true.
There was a guy at the workshop.
Best thing Chase said in six episodes.
Seriously, yeah, though, it's I don't understand.
No one's using it.
I'm out.
Just drop the mic.
I'm done. It's not getting any better than that.
Cool.
It'd be interesting to hear, though, what if there's anybody out there, you know, drop us a message. Like, if you are upset about the Canon EOS R, the Canon mirrorless system, why are you mad at it?
And you're shooting it now, right?
I love it, man.
Yeah. I do too.
You have to be using it, first of all. You can't just
focus peaking is worth the price of admission for me, because there's nothing else in Canon's lineup that has that. And
the argument can't be, well, Sony's had that for a while.
Who gives a shit?
I don't care if Sony's had it for a while. Why is the EOS R not a pro camera? Because it doesn't have what is it lacking? You need to have 70 or 80 megapixels for something to be a pro camera,
or it's got to be like 13 frames a second with like robust weather sealing. And
give it 2, 3, 4, 5 years and they come out with the next.
Yeah, exactly. I don't need any of that shit anyway.
This one is fine
for me. I don't understand what the problem is. That's
we were using. We shot today. We shot with it the whole day today, mm-hmm. at a rec center, and it's an amazing camera to use. I have zero.
We
problem
shot
with
it all weekend at the workshop and everything.
It's fine. I have no complaints. Like over the Mark IV, I prefer over the Mark.
Bring back the diesel soon?
Why do I have to talk about her on every show? I mean, she's
resting peacefully.
She's not resting peacefully. She's just napping.
She's retired.
She's not retired.
On a shelf?
She's retired.
Yeah, she's down. She's down in the dungeon.
Well, yeah, I don't know what the people's deal is with the EOS R. I love it. We've been using it. I got no problems. It seems like a pro camera to me. I'm a professional and I'm using it, so I don't know what else classifies something as a pro camera. But there's two professionals right here using it that
are making a living with that camera. No one's hating on the 6D. Nobody's hating on the EOS RP. Well, they probably the Canon mirrorless is like the fucking misfit toy of cameras. Like people are just mad at the thing for no good reason. And it's a bit upsetting because all the people that are using it love it.
Yeah. Seriously. I haven't run into anybody who has it that is like, this thing's fucking sucks.
The only thing that sucks is the level. The level's...
Yeah, and that's an easy fix.
It seems like a bug.
It's definitely a bug.
Look at that damn thing. That's beautiful. That 85-1.2.
Yeah.
Hot damn. $26.99.
Yeah, I still like the 28-70 I got.
About $6,000 up in Canada? Nice.
Yeah, in there and around, probably like $54.99.
Jesus.
Yeah, we have free healthcare, though, so.
That's true.
That's what everybody says.
Comes out the wash.
So do you try to get hurt?
No.
Just to, you know, take advantage.
Like, just to try to level it out a little bit, get some of your money back.
If I like, cut my fingernails too short, I could go to the doctor and be like, I think I cut my fingernails too short today.
Can I have some Vicodin?
You can do anything you want. But you just don't do it. You don't do it. But the thing is, our healthcare, while it's free, it's not great because there's waiting lists for things like MRIs and CAT scans. And if you are banged up and you got in a car accident and your neck's out, you might have to wait like 9 months to get into a... Is that a one-star review?
Yep, two of them in a row. Chase just pulled up the EOS R.
You cannot process raw files in Adobe. I'm guessing this is when it first came out. You probably couldn't because Adobe needed to be updated.
Yeah, of course. That's December 31st.
It works now.
Huge fail. Do not buy. Bricked itself.
Issues
don't purchase,
focus.
Please.
It's a piece of electronic. I'm review. Sure that maybe somebody got a bad one somewhere.
Evidently, these four people did. Does it keep
does that guy say he had 32 years of experience and he laughed at looking at it? Come on. Get out of here, Tony.
I even dislike the color issues with the Sony.
Tony that left the one-star review on B&H, I don't like you. Fuji. He didn't even capitalize his T on his name.
Fuji
Fuck
and
that
Sony
guy.
Are light years ahead. Even how are they light years ahead? What is it that they're doing that the Canon is not doing? I don't understand, because I've had the Sony and I don't remember.
What does Null say? So Null says the camera lags, the screen turns green, freezes and shuts down.
I'm guessing he got a bad one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's doesn't do that.
I don't like Null either. If you're not capitalizing your name, I'm not listening to you.
I don't think
you're
going to
leave a review and you're
going to
assume that every single one turns green and shuts down. I mean, come on. You got to know that you had a lemon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'll wait for the higher end version and try again. What is people's problem? What do they want from a camera? Wait,
when was that one? What was that review?
5.15.
Dude, that was like this week.
But my question is, what are these people currently shooting with that this one is well below expectations or their normal standards? That's what I don't understand.
Should we just read John's review here?
He's got a 5D Mark IV.
Yeah.
And evidently the EOS R is not a high-end enough version, even though it's got the exact same fucking sensor, but a better processor than the 5D4, which basically makes it a mirrorless 5D4. He's waiting for a higher-end version, then he's going to try again. He's an idiot. Anyway.
He got two thumbs down and one thumbs up, so people don't like what he has to say.
He's probably listening right now.
I hope so.
He's probably one of the subscribers, I'm sure.
Probably.
Enough about that, but it rubs me the wrong way that... It, I don't know. Maybe I'm doing something wrong that it works so well for me.
It's possible.
You too?
It's possible.
Yeah.
We're using it all wrong.
You know what we did yesterday? This is a little off topic. We climbed a mountain in Arizona.
Was that yesterday?
That was yesterday.
It was called
A
Mountain.
It was a mountain.
It was called A Mountain.
It was a mountain with a letter A on the side.
They call it A Mountain.
Do they?
Yes.
Don't bullshit me.
I thought it was Tempe.
Did you Google that?
Somebody told me about it.
Really? Yes. So we were walking, and we saw folks walking up the mountain, and I looked at Tony. I said, Tony, should we walk up the mountain? He's like, I'll do that shit. And Chase is like, I'm not fucking walking up a mountain.
No, it's fucking, 80 degrees out? I just showered that morning.
It's
if
okay.
I like climb a mountain, I'm dripping sweat, and we have to get on a fucking plane and go to the airport for 5 hours.
So there we are at the top of this mountain.
Yeah.
It's Tempe Butte, by the way. Tempe Butte, name of the mountain.
It's A Mountain, they call it.
So we reached...
Look up A Mountain right below Tempe.
A Mountain, Tempe.
And then we reached the summit. We took a couple snapshots. We marveled over the State Farm building that's on Tempe. Is it Tempe Town Lake?
I don't know. Whatever it was, right next to the stadium there.
There's a State Farm building there that's amazing. It's Anyways, huge. We walked back down and...
I took a photo.
Yeah, he took a photo. And then we got... down there was stairs that sort of led to the summit, and then we came back down and we see Chase waiting for us on a fucking Razor scooter on the side of a mountain,
halfway up the mountain.
And he's lucky it had disc brakes, because he was going definitely into a cactus.
He was riding down
there. The brakes were they were smoking. Yeah, that was fun. And then I wore flip-flops. I climbed a mountain in flip-flops. It was good.
Your toes were black by the time you got on the plane.
I had a shower last night when I got back, because I didn't want to go to bed with mountain toes.
All right, so let's see. Back to Paul.
Yeah.
Hey guys. What other questions do we have for Paul?
Oh, Paul's still here.
Like, hey, guys.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, Cannons, right?
Cannons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you got a camera, though. What are you shooting with? You got a little camera.
Right now, it's a little bit dated, but I got the old Olympus mirrorless when it was first becoming the hot new thing.
Yeah, another mirrorless guy.
Is that like the OMD or something?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, EM5. Okay. I got the Mark I.
Oh, word?
She's a beaut. Yeah.
Not quite as old as...
The diesel?
That's a Micro Four Thirds.
So, yeah, it's a Micro Four Thirds. I'm hopefully soon in the market for another. I actually really like the Olympus, but
are you doing video with that too?
Here and there, yeah. So that's I do kind of some I'll call it guerrilla video. It's I've got a few real estate clients.
Oh, Barry. God.
Good ones, though. Actually, ones that are pretty smart with their branding and actually care about it and actually are good with spending some money. So I found some of the few.
Where did you find between. Them? Do you have a unicorn, too?
Two of them.
You have two unicorns?
Two unicorns, yeah. Wow. So, but yeah, I shoot a little video with it. I want to upgrade here pretty soon, but I do like the Olympus, and I do like the Micro Four Thirds platform. I think it's pretty solid for what I do. I wouldn't necessarily put it on your guys' plate, but
how are you using this? So you're doing branding, graphic design, et cetera, for clients. And so you have to sometimes create photos and video for them as well.
Yeah. So I have a wide gamut of clients. I'm growing to the point where the gamut might not be so wide, but, some of them are, you know, more budget conscious than others. And, so that's where I kind of step in and kind of sometimes, you know, shoot some guerrilla style stuff, you know.
You just got to get content on the page, and they don't have a budget for
Well, it's the thing is
photographer or videographer, so you have to
exactly. And I mean, they pay for me, but I don't charge a rate that a pro that you would expect from a pro to do. And so I, I feel that I can create better content than they've got. I'm a decent photographer, much more of a hobbyist, but still I get what I need for my content. You know, I'm already creating some sort of design for them, so I can go in there and shoot what I need for the content that I'm trying to create for them, whether it's an ad or a website or whatever. And turns out, and I mean, definitely is better than what they've got. You know, I've got some clients that'll show up and try and have me build a website, and I'm like, what are your assets? What are we, where are we starting? And they'll, you know, send me a bunch of iPhone pics that they took in dark lighting and like, you know, here's what I've got. Nice. This looks awesome, right? And it's like, well, no. So let's find another solution.
But let's talk about that for a second. So that seems to me like a chicken or the egg scenario. So if they want a website, are they expected to go out and get all the assets done first, or have somebody design the website and tell them what assets they need? How does that work?
Yeah, that's I would say for me and for my clients, usually it's a website upgrade. They've already got a website. They need to redesign it. And then they've got the assets that are on their current website that they did themselves, or somebody in their within their business created them, and generally not, you know, really up to snuff. You know, it's not. I mean, occasionally, sometimes they'll have an in-house marketing team or somebody like something like that where they can create some decent content. But a lot of times, they get some clients coming to me that are, you know, it's a little rough. So,
So the only reason I'm laughing is just, your voice is so lovely.
Is it good?
It's so lovely.
I feel like...
I mean, I can't...
I wish I could hear it.
It's just... It's
So I usually... My first goal is to always try and impress upon them to use a photographer. I really do. Sometimes they want to go the, the Shutterstock, you know, stock photography route or whatever, and I try to shy away from that as best I can. It has its place. I don't discount that, but
what is your percentage of stock photography versus hiring photographers in the work that you do?
I actually, most of my clients use photographers of some sort, and sometimes, like I said, it's not, you know, it's budget related, but generally I'm able to convince them to use something. To me, a poorer quality real photo of the real space, oftentimes, you know, with some editing and kind of tweaking some things and trying to make it, you know, maybe crop it to, you know, fit what you need, is oftentimes better than, you know, the smiley dude in the corner that you find in, you know, stock photography.
The classic shitty handshake.
Yeah. Hey, with super smiley. Yeah.
That's like the number one sold image.
The handshake?
That's, if you Google around, that's the number one sold image in stock photography. That person's made probably millions of dollars off of that.
There's the handshake, and then there's like the chick in the tank top. It's like my internet provider has this like hot chick in a tank top. And it's like, got questions, call us. And I'm like,
the headset on.
She's not going to
like
be.
Yeah,
she's
gonna, yeah, yeah, that one's all over the place.
She's not going to be there.
No,
I'm going to get Dave.
Dave or Chuck.
Yeah,
Bill.
Dave, man. Oh, where was
Karen?
Glenda.
I recently had to call somebody for tech support. And I'm trying to remember what it was for. Oh, it was for when I switched my domain over, I had to call GoDaddy up to get some settings. And the guy treated me like shit. And he's like, oh, it was when I was registering my webmail. It was like, there's like a month ago. And I was like, yeah, I talked to format my the place from my websites through. And they said that I need to reach out for you to figure out how to set up my email. And he's like, did you delete the SMTP settings? And I'm like, I don't know what that is, man. And he's like, if you deleted that, you're screwed. And I was like, dude, I almost actually asked for somebody else because he was being such a fucking dick to me. He's like, did you erase 3 DNS settings and delete the IPRN? And I'm like, no, I didn't do any of that. Sorry, I didn't.
Matter of fact, I didn't do that.
Yeah, I didn't do that shit. But he was such a fucking jerk to me, man.
Did you do it, though?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
No, maybe I did.
Maybe you did.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I actually did. I did. I just couldn't tell him that.
You could tell us.
Yeah, I could tell you guys. But fuck, man, he was such a jerk to me. And I did. I actually went in and I saw a bunch of like IMAP stuff, and I'm like, oh, who needs this? And I just checked them all. And deleted them.
No, I did not do that.
He's looking at your account history at the other end going, yeah, you liar. You fucker. That's funny.
Yeah, that's why he was being such a jerk. He's like, he knew I was lying to him. But screw him, man. Just set my shit up. I was paying for it. That's what he's there for.
God damn it, I'm Canadian. I shouldn't have to work for this shit.
So let's see. Let's talk about websites for a minute, Paul. Barry says he's using Format. You know I use Squarespace. You're doing some websites for people. Are you doing this? Are you code monkeying with a case of Mountain Dew? Or are you doing things on Squarespace on or some platform side like that? Or WordPress and shit? What are you doing things on these days?
Yeah, so I have one of my degrees is in code.
One of my degrees.
One of my degrees is.
Are you a doctor?
I am not a doctor. No, I'm nowhere near a doctor. In fact, I.
What do you think of this rash? Really bad. Do you think this will go away on its own?
I've got a coding background. We'll say that, but I kind of like ditched that for design work and for several years, and then when I got back into web design, you know, the Squarespace platform I really enjoy. I think it's a really smart platform, and I utilize it for my clients because I really think that I can empower them with, you know, once I create everything for them, I can teach them how to do some of the basics.
You can hand the keys over at some point to them and let them drive.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So that's why I use it, and it offers the ability to do some custom coding in the background. They don't have to really mess with it or know about it, and then I can go in there and teach them, you know, I've worked for agencies and seed agencies. It'll charge, you know, $150-$300 to change one sentence in a paragraph, you know, and for me, that's not what I ever wanted to do with my direction. So, it just doesn't make sense. So I started in the Squarespace platform, and I just keep that. So I don't do a ton of, database websites or anything major. I kind of focus on more of the small business, the restaurants, the retail, those types of clients. If I've got clients that need something bigger and more robust, then I'll refer them to somebody else. But
so you hear that, Squarespace? If you're listening, we're looking for a sponsor for the show.
I don't want to take to be a.
Before we have a break here, can I have one of those?
Are we on a break?
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
We'll be back right after these messages. Okay.
Here, do you need this?
Well, while we're at it.
Here. So if you're at home, now's the time. Go ahead, grab another beer.
This is both of you. We'll wait.
We're both of you. This bottle of beer says "Talk Nerdy to Me." Full Sail Brewing Co. This is the Atomizer. It's ultrasonic infused pale, atomized hops for ultrasonically tasty beer. This is a 6.6.
Hey Paul, how do you get all this? How do you get all this Full Sail beer all the time?
Yeah, where do you get all this beer from, Paul?
You know, I'm married very well.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
My wife.
You married a painter.
Is awesome. Yeah, she's a great painter. I remember actually. She happens to work for Full Sail Brewing out of Hood River, Oregon. But she's, you know, we live together though here in Spokane.
You do live with her.
Yeah, we do live together, so that's cool. And so I happen to get to taste some of their.
This is garbage. My wife does fitness. So and your wife does beer.
Shouldn't you be more fit then?
Man, I like pizza way too much.
Your wife does beer. You drink a lot of beer, right?
And I drink a lot of beer.
His wife does fitness, yet look at him.
Guys, I had to work hard for this.
My wife's a neuropsychologist. Look at me. Yeah. It makes perfect sense.
Well, I just wish that this was in my... I wish that I had Atomizer just handy all the time.
I'm practically retarded.
Can you say that?
I don't think you're supposed to say that.
No, so. You say delayed.
Developmentally delayed. Challenged or delayed.
Delayed.
There's
delayed,
a lot of stuff you can't say anymore. I was listening to stand-up the other day. I think it was Tom Segura or one of those.
Has that
skit. Yeah, he's like, can't say this. Yep. Can't say that anymore. That's a good one.
People are getting soft.
Yeah, we listened to Jeselnik's new one.
I don't like that. I don't like that guy.
He doesn't like Jeselnik. Really? He doesn't
make me laugh. Dude.
He's maybe too aggressive for the Canadian soft skin.
I can handle aggression.
Barry starts apologizing for the guy.
No, I just he doesn't do anything for me.
Oh man,
I want him to. I want him to do things. Just that little Zinnick. I want you to do
Anthony
things.
Anthony Jeselnik.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever laughed harder listening to that.
Oh man, it's hilarious.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on.
Paul and I went and saw him at the comedy club here, what, a year ago or so?
Yeah, I think there were some bits in there, weren't there? Some bits. There's a little, he was working on material here and he some of it ended up in that.
I listened to him on Joe Rogan's podcast, you know, the Our Sister podcast.
Yeah.
And he was talking about that he tours like a year working on a material before he does a stand-up with it or anything like that.
Like a special?
Any kind of special. So I think it was at least a year. Maybe it was longer than that.
He's testing the market.
Yeah, so he goes around and refines it. So he writes for like 2 years or something, and then he'll tour for a year doing that before he actually records a special just to like fine-tune it or something. But I think the guy's hilarious. His delivery is amazing.
Yeah, it's just deadpan, you know.
Yeah.
Random shit.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Just the punchline is not what you were expecting.
No.
What am I missing? Because I think that I have a good sense of humor, and
you're right.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean,
you're okay for Canada standards.
I'm okay for Canada.
Who's your guy then?
I do enjoy Jeffries. I do enjoy that Gaffigan.
I like Gaffigan.
I used to love.
How about Nate Bergozzi?
Yeah, I like Nate. What's the
just
dude?
Name Bergetti.
John Mulaney.
Here Nashville.
Oh, yeah? That guy's hilarious, man.
He was great.
Did he do his hammock bit?
Hammock?
Am I saying it wrong? Is it hammock?
Hammock?
Is it Hammett?
I still like Louis C.K. I don't really know. I know he's done some.
He's hilarious.
Has he done bad things?
I don't think you're allowed to listen to Louis anymore.
You might need to edit that out. I think he's done some things.
Did he do some things?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He got in some issues.
He showed his willy to some people.
You can show your willy.
To everyone?
In this day and age.
Yeah, you can't say
not
many
to kids.
Things.
He showed us willy to kids.
You're defending showing willies, but you got upset about saying retarded. Like
there's a disconnect.
There's some things.
No, but Pee Wee Herman was showing his wiener like so many years ago,
and then he was not Big Top Adventure anymore.
No, he's still around though. He gets cameos in the most fucked up movies. Where you're like, oh, is that Pee Wee Herman? You're like.
It's like Bob Saget just like shows up in something. You're like, where did that guy come from?
Mm-hmm. Bob Saget was so G-rated that when he showed up and like dropped an F-bomb, you're like,
it was
like,
blew your mind.
Except, have you seen his stand-up?
No, is he dirty?
It's aggressive.
Is it really?
He's like
he probably kills
opposite.
People.
Well,
remember him in like Entourage and stuff? He had that. He had that same persona where
I've never seen Entourage.
What the
fuck? And also, this is a fun fact about Barry that most people don't know.
They don't have HBO in Canada, do they?
No, we don't. Well, no. Yeah, kind of.
It's in the other 80%.
Yeah, it's up north. But this is another fun fact about me. I've never seen an episode of Seinfeld, and I'm taking that to the grave.
What?
Because I've come this far. I can't go back now.
It's so good.
I know.
It'll take you 2 weeks to get through. Maybe not 2 weeks.
No, I know, but I can't.
It'll take you a little longer than that.
Two months to get through. I have a stubbornness to me. And once
I see Seinfeld.
How would you deprive yourself of...
Is it,
sweet,
funny?
Feeling
is it that
of
funny?
Laughter.
Is it that funny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
It's hilarious.
I mean, the guy is hugely successful as a result of it. But
it doesn't matter.
I guess what does everybody else know?
Yeah.
Fuck everybody else.
I don't play cards and I don't watch Seinfeld, so take that.
I don't like cilantro and I don't eat popcorn.
Yeah, because he says it's too squeaky for
it's
him.
It's like eating styrofoam, man.
Only man, the popcorn in Canada isn't as squeaky as it is in America.
It squeaks. It gets stuck in your teeth. It's shit. Popcorn sucks.
Next time you come to
Canada.
It's
a scam by the movie theaters because it costs nothing to make, but they can charge you $9 to buy it.
Yeah, but have you tasted it?
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah, it's good. Buttery, salty.
It's like butter, salty styrofoam.
Yeah, come to Canada. It's not as squeaky up there.
Your popcorn is not different than what we have here.
No, it is. It is, because last time I was here and we went to that dinner, drink, movie joint, I got popcorn there and I was like, damn, this is squeaky, but it's not that squeaky at home. American popcorn is extra squeaky.
All right. I'll try Canadian popcorn if you watch an episode of Seinfeld.
I won't. No. No deal.
Right. No deal.
No deal. Okay, and here's...
Guess I'll never know what it tastes like then. Yeah.
Here's part of the reason why I won't watch Seinfeld. So people obviously rave about it and they try to get me to watch it. And I haven't had cable in about 6 or 7 years. I cut the cord a long time ago. But every time someone told me to watch it and I would be, you know, flipping by TBS or whatever and it's on, all I see is this chubby bald guy yelling, and then this weird dude with this rooster hair sliding around, and I'm like, this isn't even funny, and then I just don't watch it anymore.
You're coming in the middle of an episode and judging it.
Yeah. Yeah, I am. I'm not watching it. I'm going to get that on my tombstone. I never watched Seinfeld.
Hey, I'm right there with you with Harry Potter. Never read a word, never seen a second.
Me neither, and I'm not doing it.
I don't know that. I don't know that that's on the same
level. I mean, well, I know, but with popularity, it is. You know, it's one of those that, like, people are like, you have not seen that.
Like, you go in someone's house and they have all 9 volumes.
I do.
And all the books. Yeah. See? Do you now I'm like, do you like
Dumbledore, for whatever the fuck his name is?
Dumbledore?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Sure. Is he the bad guy?
No, he's a good guy.
Oh.
I'm with you. Like, when everybody's like, "Oh, you haven't? You have to."
See, and then I'm common, like, ground. Okay. You guys don't like cilantro. You don't like it. You like it, but you neither of you like.
We can shake hands sometimes.
Yeah,
we'll still be friends. We still hugged earlier.
Yeah, we did. Nice. We embraced. It was nice.
You have to bend down a little bit, and I feel a little bit inferior.
You have a little bit though. You're like decently tall.
I know.
Do you guys touch each other?
Our nipples touched
every single time.
Oh, Billy.
And evidently, you can put in with Squarespace to be a Squarespace sponsor.
I don't want to do that. I want them to call me.
Marketing partner. I don't think they will.
Well, we'll just keep telling them we're Joe Rogan's sister's podcast. And
I think Joe Rogan had to do this.
I don't think Joe Rogan has to do that. I'm pretty sure he doesn't. I'm pretty sure they reached out to him.
Maybe. We'll just tag this one on Squarespace. Maybe somebody there will
listen to it. Yeah, go for it. Especially with this one. I'll keep saying Squarespace some more.
Well, then they don't need to sponsor us because we're already promoting a show.
You know what, though?
Let's start talking about WordPress or something.
If we're going to bring it full circle back to photography here, it really is a great platform for photographers.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay, so let's get into that. So for those who don't know, Paul worked with me for several years here as my brand manager at the studio, and handled website and does graphic design and marketing and basically everything I didn't want to do. And he's really good at it. But I wanted to find out from him, through his adventures, what some of the best avenues that you found for photographers for marketing. You know, what were some of the most successful things that you did, and what were some of the things that were a total waste of time? So if a photographer is looking to invest their marketing dollars somewhere, where do you think they'll get the most bang for the buck?
That's a tough one, because you've got everybody's in a different market, and I think that different markets require different attention. But in general, I truly believe in relationships and developing relationships. And so
happy hours every day.
Just
go drink beer with people and get to know them.
That's what exactly. You're saying? Yeah, more or less. You know, it's I find that you develop some relationships with people, and assuming that your work is good and they like you and you're nice to them and they're nice to you and you got some sort of relationship there, why would they go anywhere else? You know,
does your work have to be the best?
Well, no. Unfortunately, I think that's a problem.
That's why because I know photographers who are just really good at relationships and their work is okay, but they do really, really well because people enjoy being around them. They like, it's someone they want to hang with all day on a shoot, or, you know, are okay communicating with over and over again for projects.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I've art directed with some and seen some of that where it's like, okay, this person isn't necessarily executing what is maybe the best, but
hey man, I did the best I could.
But yeah, you know, it's true though. For all those out there that feel like they might be just kind of a mediocre photographer, you can still be successful.
It's a relationship business.
I mean, not everybody is going to be the Michael Jordan of photography, right? Like, there's levels and you're going to obviously want to continue and grow and build and get better, but you know, if you aren't a dick, that helps, right? Like, go out and meet people and try and work with them. And I think that the more you develop those relationships and get opportunities and hopefully are decently successful, then I think that you can, you know, grow a career from it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It is unfortunate though. I mean, you do see a lot of mediocre photographers that have great personalities that, you know, they're successful.
There's also a lot of bad. There are. I know some really bad photographers that somehow pull it off, and they It must be roofies or something else. Roofies. Maybe they're roofing their clients.
Is that what you're doing to me right now?
Well, yeah, it's not. It's in the bottle under the table, the next one.
Let's get back to this. The marketing dollars, though. So aside from building relationships, obviously that is something that takes a lot of time. Yeah. I mean, that's not something that you're going to do overnight. It's the long con, right? And it's the most effective thing, as you're saying. But now they have some money. They've got some relationships. They want to grow their business. Running out of time to spend developing, you know, going out to the marketing meetings and all of the, you know, after hours events and things like that. There's only so much time that someone can invest in that, right? So where do you actually spend the money? Where is the best bang for the buck on actually investing in your business for marketing?
Yeah, I feel like the most successful thing that, you know, when we were working together that we had was definitely a printed portfolio, something that was not your big dog portfolio to sit down, but something that you can leave behind, something that you can take out, you know, as part of those relationship builders. Now that takes, you know, confidence in your portfolio and growing, having enough imagery to put into the portfolio to get to that point. But once you get there, I think it's probably the most bang for your buck, because you're spending maybe $5, you know, and everybody that you meet, you can go, hey, maybe you don't want to talk to me. Maybe I'm not the best networker in the world, but at least I can go to you and leave something with you and say, here's $5 out of my pocket in your head. You can at least justify that. I spent $5.
Reciprocity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Reciprocity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We talked about this last week.
The book. Yep. That you're talking about.
Influence.
Yeah. So that's a big deal. I mean, but how many photos do they really need? Do you have to have a lot? I mean, what is the right number? Do you want to take them and drop a dictionary on their desk of photos, or do you just need a few?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I've seen postcards be successful with one or two images. I mean, you can, you know, find your best. That's whatever your truly your best images are, and start with that. And that might be five, and then maybe it's not a full portfolio book. Maybe it's a folded piece of paper that you spend the money to print it nice and make it look good and use your best. And they don't have to know that you only have five good images.
But do they just know that you're five? There's something about creating that leave behind that's beyond just a folded brochure where they're not going to throw it away right away. I think there's value in that, you know, producing something that you hand to them, and it gets you in. This is something that we talked about in our workshop, actually. You know, the leave behinds that you hand somebody, and at first they're about to blow you off, but once you hand them that, then all of a sudden they start thumbing through it, and you get the time of day out of nowhere, and they go, okay, well, this is actually pretty nice, you know. And they, do you have a second where you can sit down and talk? And all of a sudden you're in their conference room, and even if you don't get that meeting right away, it's nice enough or thick enough or whatever that magic factor is, the it factor of the leave behind, that they're not going to throw it away. And is that, do you think that having a thicker portfolio or having 20 images or something like that, is that important, or postcards the way to go? Maybe I'm doing it wrong.
No, I see. I'll liken it to this. With every client I tell that I do business cards with, everybody wants to do business cards. Everybody has business cards. And, my biggest suggestion to them is do something that's different. Whatever it is, if that's size, shape, thickness, gloss, spot UV, different. I mean, there's wood cards, cotton cards. I mean, there's millions of options, right? Do something that's a little bit different that might make them
not throw your shit out.
Yeah, not throw your shit out. Yeah. Hold on to it for a second. Think it's nicer than it is. Maybe you spent nothing on it, but it's a little nicer, a little bit different, whatever that is. And so along the same lines with the leave behind and with a portfolio or a postcard or whatever that might be, just make sure it's your best that you can afford at the time. You know, whatever you want to spend, I mean, that's going to be different for every person in every part of their career. But if, you know, you can spend $5 on it and spend a little more, you know, maybe you print 100 of them or whatever and you're going to hand them out. Make them nice. Make them something different. Design them. You've got some sort of creative eye with your photography. If you can't hire somebody to do it for you, do it yourself. And it doesn't have to be 20 pages. It can be two. It can be a postcard. It can be whatever the best you've got. But show your best work in the best way that you can. And don't skimp on it, because you're spending the money already. Spend a little bit more, or spend the what you've got budgeted for it, and print them out and give them out and be proud of it. And then hopefully that develops one new job, one new client, two new clients, whatever that is. I mean, if you get one new client out of $1,000.
Yeah, it pays for itself.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So if you can find that one client that's going to come back, and then you develop that relationship, and hopefully they never go anywhere.
Yeah.
And another thing is, I look at some big, big name photographers, and I follow a photo editor on Instagram where he posts, you can mail in your promo or your lookbook or whatever, and he'll post it. And I find that, like, I do it once a year. I only print up 20 a year personally, and I get them all out there. And then sometimes if I only land like two or three clients out of that, I'm a little bummed out, even though, I mean, it's already paid itself back, you know, many times over. But I look at some of these big name photographers, and they're actually, they have like drip campaigns where they're sending out a promo like quarterly, and not like just 20, they're sending out like 1,000. And these are guys that I follow that are huge, huge names in product beverage, and they're like, they don't take their foot off the gas. And sometimes I find myself, I personally take my foot off the gas where I get slammed with work, and then I sort of fall behind on marketing. And then there's that sort of dry spell. And I'm like, oh shit, I better start marketing. Whereas these guys never take their foot off the gas.
No, you're talking like Schaffer, yeah, and Dana Nybert,
and like Mark Leiter. Those guys are always
over it. And you see, they always share their promos like on social media and stuff. And
it never stops.
But you know, I think they have guys like Paul, like when I had Paul working here, that handle that shit. So it makes it a little easier if it's not you, because as you say, you get tied up with work, and all of a sudden that has to take a back seat to the instant stuff that's due. You know, rather
and then you come up for air, and then you're like, shit.
But that is essential to keeping your pipeline full. Yeah. You have to find that balance. It's like, okay, I'm slammed right now, but when all this work is gone, then my pipeline is empty. So you have to stop and take the time to actually do that marketing to keep the pipeline full. And that's the hard balance. And that's why you are around, is because it's hard to do all of that yourself and do it well. You know, that's the key, is you might be able to, like, yeah, you said unique, you know, be unique, do something different. Yeah. So I handwrite all my business cards on Post-it notes and hand them out. Is that unique? Is it, you know, that's probably not the right approach. So, you know, you got to have somebody
that's
that
your
can
budget.
Do it well, you know. Yeah. And I believe in, you know, realizing what you're good at. You know, I'm not a graphic designer. I come up with some rough ideas sometimes and can pass them on to you or whoever is doing, you know, the final whatever it is that I'm creating. And I think it's important for people to realize that, hey, it's okay as a photographer. We have this innate thing that we're creative and we can just do it ourselves, right? You can design your own logo. Hey, I'm a creative guy. I can design my own logo. I can design my own website. But that doesn't mean we should. What are your thoughts on that?
That's it really is a tough one. I don't want to discourage people from going that guerrilla route. I mean, Barry, you've done a lot of that. You work for yourself mostly, like you said earlier, that you don't really have assistants typically. And, you know,
Barry just takes what we do and then he puts his name on it. And does the same thing.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I mean, there's a place for it, and hopefully within sometime in your career you go, I'm ready to hire it out. That's kind of an evolution I think that hopefully occurs in somebody's career at some point. You know, is, you know, Barry, you'll get there someday where you can
let's call PT up.
No, I think
give him a discount code, Paul.
You got a promo?
Go steal somebody.
Give him a promo code.
Go steal somebody's idea. Go copy if you really have to. I mean, I'm not like a plagiarism guy. Don't get me wrong, but like, go study. You know, that's really what it is. I'm not
inspiration.
Saying. Yeah, go get inspiration. Go find something that you like, and then try and create something, you know, along those lines that still fits your brand and fits your, you know, mentality and mood and the things that you're trying to create. And again, it doesn't have to be, you know, I heard a long time ago, and I'm going to butcher the quote, but it's something along the lines of like, make it work and then make it better, right? Like, go do something. And if it's shitty, well, then make it less shitty next time, right? Like, make it a little bit better and a little bit better each time. And that's really, you know, how you can build the confidence to know that your last thing was shitty when you make something better and then you look back at it, right? Like, look at your first photos that you ever did professionally that somebody paid you to do, and you look back on them, were they great? Yeah, well, yeah, I bet you do. Yeah.
I was going to make some shirts. I had this idea to make some T-shirts and some hats, and I want to put this slogan of "Do Average Elsewhere" on it. And I'm just wondering if I could do that. Would that be okay?
Sure, go for it, man. Okay.
Just checking, because I mean, I really like it. I think it's. I really like the message, and I think that it's a nice slogan. And I just want to know if I could do that.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's using that.
Perfect.
You should be all clear.
An E in there, right? Yeah. So it doesn't get.
Well, I'm from Canada, and
do
and
average you're, elsewhere, eh? Yeah,
fucking A, right?
We actually did have a guy reach out.
Yeah.
Asking if he could make shirts and hats.
Can you send me the
artwork so I can do that?
Yeah, can you send me the Illustrator file for that so I can?
That's registered now, right?
Oh yeah.
You should put the little R on there and say then they know that's
would actually be
a TM.
TM.
Well, TM is you can actually put a TM on anything.
Oh, can you? Tell us more.
Is TM trademark an R registered trademark?
Exactly. So if you actually get your trademark registered, then you put the R circle.
Mm-hmm. Well, mine is R.
Yeah.
Damn, but son.
You can actually put a TM next to something before it's actually registered.
Here's a pro tip.
And that's like your little, like, I'm trademarking this.
Well, that's bitches. Paul's pro tip. Yeah. My pro tip is that if you ever want to trademark something and you Google around and you see there's plenty of services that will do it for $1,200 or $1,500 for you, you just enter this information through their website and then they'll take care of the rest. The information you're entering on their website is simply going to the U.S. government's trademark registration website, and you're completing what you could do for $200 on their website for about $1,500 on some attorney's website. So,
the nerve.
Yeah, don't do that.
That's all it is. Don't do that. Just if you want to register something, go to the U.S. government's trademark registration website, pay the $200 fee, tell them what it is you want to register, wait 6 months for it to come back, and then you'll have the certificate and you're all done, and you'll save yourself a ton of money. Yeah. The process is exactly the same if you hire one of these other companies to do it for you. They're just taking that information and moving it on over. So
making some change. You don't need no professional for that.
So many pro tips on this podcast.
What's your pro tip, Barry?
Oh, I have many. I have many, many pro tips. I can't even think of one right now. I have so many.
Pro tips backwards.
That's amazing.
Pro tip, don't trust a fart.
Yeah. No, you don't. You don't. Yeah, yeah, you don't. You might end up in the bathtub.
You end up in the bathtub. Hey, speaking of which, I heard that you guys.
I don't think Paul knows this yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, yeah. Bring this down.
What I do?
Do you remember that Black Rapid thing we did?
Oh, yeah.
I taught the workshop up at
way back when, Seattle,
where you and I shared a room that one night.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Paul's like, where's he going with this?
Remember how you couldn't walk the next day?
Was it weird? My pants was unbuttoned.
Well, I had the stomach flu about the night before, and I thought I was going to die, and then I miraculously got better. Well, that night, I went to Trust a Fart when I was sleeping in bed, and I pooped in the sheets.
You shit the bed.
You shit the bed.
You were sleeping in the next bed. It was 5 in the morning.
You were so close. You were right there. So close yet. Oh,
I got up. I threw my underwear away. I washed up, and I just put the sheets over the bed, and we went and left.
That
Paul was never the wiser.
Now I know. Knowing is half the battle.
That's it.
Yeah, oh, my gosh. That is glorious. You know what I was afraid of, actually, is that you were going to tell the exact same story. But it was me that did it.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Did you?
And that's why I'm like waiting, like, oh shit, what'd I do? You're like, remember when you were sleeping?
When you shit the bed?
That's amazing.
I've shit my pants, but I've never shit the bed. So I got that going for me.
I don't recall ever doing either since I was in
diapers. That was the first and only time I ever did it.
Oh. That's amazing. You guys seem to be shitting yourselves a lot.
St. Louis, too. There's
a lot of incontinence happening around here.
Never trust a fart.
Especially after you have the stomach flu.
Oh,
it's
man.
It's not real.
Yeah. Well, so
here we are again.
Back to pants shitting.
I don't know. We got more questions, but I'm interested more in what Paul has to say, on this stuff for marketing. And I know there's a ton of people out there that are budget wise. What's a good budget for? Is there a percentage for someone's annual revenue that they should allocate to marketing? Is there a formula? Do they teach you that in school in marketing 101 or whatever?
Yeah, I mean.
Why is my voice getting so high? I don't know.
You sound very inquisitive.
Yeah, that's my inquisitive voice.
We're going to put you through the machine that you bought that doesn't work and make your voice.
Hey, Paul, is there a budget that someone should have?
I really enjoy talking deeply.
I've heard numbers anywhere between 2 and 5% of your gross revenue is a reasonable number to allocate towards marketing. Now, what's that mean for the average small business owner, though? I mean,
if you make $20,000 a year, 2% is not a whole lot of money.
Right. $20. Yeah. Craigslist. So that's really targeted at corporate businesses and entities, and that's actually ad buys typically, not just like your marketing department. So, but it's a really tough one, you know, and marketing really is tough. There's people that are brilliant out there that do it well, and there's people that fail at it, and the people that are brilliant tend to be brilliant because they failed at it. You know, it's.
Well, let me ask you this then, just to narrow it down a bit. If somebody wants to build a Squarespace website these days and have a designer do it for them, you know, 15 years ago to have a website built would cost you $20,000. You know, some agency would charge you $20,000 to build a website.
Yep.
And that was the norm, right? But with all of these things these days that have done all the back-end coding for you, and it's really just having a developer know how to navigate that back-end now, it sounds like it's much cheaper. I mean, obviously, sites like Squarespace and these, if you have some time and a little bit of technical knowledge, you can get in there and figure it out yourself. But for those who don't, that need to hire someone to do that, what kind of budget should they expect to have a website made? Like your average photographer, let's say, what should they budget to have someone build a website for them, say on a platform like Squarespace or one of those?
You're really grinding for a Squarespace sponsorship here.
I'm just using them because that's what I use.
Anytime you've got those template-based, you know, your WordPresses and your, I mean, there's a lot out there that are, Wix and all these that are out there that are options.
Do you need to use something other than those? Is there something wrong with those?
No, I think they're fantastic, and I really like Squarespace because I've found good results from them. I think that they do a good job with allowing for SEO, and I think their search results turn out well. I think they do a good job of battling spam if you're using their email stuff and all that. It's just a good platform, really, and it's got a lot of great templates, and they've been around and they've been successful, and there's no downtime, and they, you know, there's a lot of things that are really positive about it. You can do it yourself if you're somewhat savvy, which hopefully most of the photographers out there are somewhat computer savvy out there and doing a lot of their own editing and all that. Then they could probably, you know, at least start with one of the templates and do something decent. If you're going to hire somebody to do it and, you know, hopefully do it a little better than you would just with some knowledge of design and hierarchy and these types of things that you would want in your website, you know, you could, it's hard to say, every market's going to be different. Here, I would say, you know, I typically charge on a website $2,000 to $10,000. It just depends on the complexity, you know. Mm-hmm. It just depends on, you know, if I've got a really basic site.
But that involves doing some graphic design and some, you know, some other elements of that site, not just coding the site or building the site for them, right?
Right, absolutely. That's much more basically saying you're hiring me for my eye and my design skills, and, you know, I do some back-end coding that to customize what the templates already have and with essentially every single site I touch. So there's that too. But
And some cohesiveness in the design that would match like their other branding materials and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. And so that's the part of it that I think most people, when they're going to hire somebody to do a website design, you know, like you said, it could be $20,000, it could be $50,000, it could be $100,000. Like, you can spend a ton of money on website design, but what you're getting for that, whatever the dollar amount, hopefully is that brand cohesiveness, that person is taking the time to understand the brand, understand the direction that you're trying to go, and make sure that all the pages and the visual aspect of that site is, you know, putting your best foot forward, essentially making sure that the customer, what your potential client sees is everything you know.
So how do you think social media plays into this then? I mean, is this it seems to be on the forefront of marketing these days for companies. I mean, you see bigger companies these days using it, you know, not just Barry and I or you or smaller companies, but huge brands are now doing full-blown campaigns through social media. And I don't mean like sponsored ads. I mean, they have these, I mean, that's just, it almost is organic in a sense, you know, the campaigns that they're doing. So how important is that? Or is it more important than doing traditional branding?
I think that every business should be doing some sort of social media. It's kind of one of those necessary evils. You know, it's most people don't, if you're a one man band or a small crew, it's hard to find time for it, but you have to. I mean, you really have to anymore. If you want to be seen, if you want to show off your work, first of all, it's free, right? Like to start, I mean, you can pay money and you could be successful with paid campaigns, but if you're on the budget, you know, free marketing and people see it and then you get followers and then they start following you and telling you, and it's one of those things that if you don't have a social media aspect to your business, you're missing the boat. You really are. And that's not to say that you should be doing all the social media. I saw a website one time that said, we're everywhere. And they had like 30 different
icons.
And it's like, well, my suggestion to my clients, and I have a lot of small businesses, bigger businesses, but the smaller businesses, I tend to say, do what you can keep up with. If it's one, some people have the time to keep up with two or three or four, whatever it is, whatever platform that works the best for you and you find the most interaction and followers with, and you can actually keep up with the content, that's what you go with. You know, you don't have to be on every one. You don't have to be on Snapchat. If you have two followers on Snapchat and you're not putting any content out there, then what's the point of having the handle?
I don't fucking understand Snapchat.
I don't know. Snapchat is crazy. Have you ever Snapchat yourself as a lady yet? We're gonna go after this and we're gonna do it. We're gonna Snapchat you as a lady.
Can we face swap too?
Yeah, we definitely are gonna face swap.
What about the people that do social media postings and just cross post from one? I mean, is that wasted? Should you be doing different content on different social medias, or should you put the same content on all social media?
The best answer really is you should be thinking about your platform when posting to it. So, and this is all my opinion, right? Like, who am I to answer these questions, right? I guess.
Certain parts of it translates over to others. Like, you can't put a YouTube video on Instagram. It just doesn't work
right,
that way.
Right.
You know, you format it for what it is.
Absolutely. No, you're right.
But you can't put teasers and things like that up there. You know, I mean, that kind of stuff. But, well, I mean, you are the person to answer this. You built a business on doing this for other companies. You know, all the branding.
Right. No, so I think that, the cross-posting... I think you really have to be in tune to your audience. And I think that if you notice that your audience is drastically different in each, then cross-posting occasionally is okay. But you don't want, you know, you want to make sure that you're putting out content that's separate from one another also. So there's a reason to follow each. And ideally, in a perfect world, you're not cross-posting all the time. You know, in a perfect world, you're posting to your Instagram followers, you know, your visual content and your Twitter followers, you know, your links and your, you know, some more business aspect. And, you know, there's just kind of, you know, you go to LinkedIn and it's LinkedIn, it's business posts and it's your, I mean, there's just a, you know, find your followers, find who's successful in each platform and target those people with that content is really the best answer. But if, you know, the lazy man's way is definitely to cross post and it works in different, you know, appeals to different audiences at times. So, I mean, there's ways to utilize both.
Yeah. I think we got more questions.
We got one. Hey guys, what app do you use to upload your images on Instagram? Also, at what resolution? Thank you.
I use Instagram.
I do use Instagram as well.
Do they make computer apps? Like,
I don't think you can post from a computer to Instagram. You can view what's on Instagram on a computer.
I don't think Instagram allows you to have those APIs. Do you know something, Paul?
The only thing that I've ever used is, well, it's now Later. It used to be Latergram. They rebranded to just Later an app that I use, and that's just for scheduling and all that. It's not really like... So you can actually go on there and schedule posts, but what it does is actually you have to open it up at the time of scheduling. Mm-hmm. It's more of like it's kind of like using your calendar or reminder app, you know, but it copy and pastes and does everything. So all you got to do it's significantly faster. You can put, 10 posts up and it gives you a reminder, hey, it's time to post. You click it and post. And it's not
fully automated.
They still don't let you do that. Mm-hmm.
Anytime I process a photo that I want to share to IG, I resize it to 3,000 pixels on the long edge, and I airdrop it to my phone, and I
pull it. Yeah, I don't even resize it. I just send it to my phone and upload. I think IG does the sizing for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they used to have Cloud, what was it called? Cloud Fair or something that you used to be able to upload all these different platforms. You would upload a photo, you could select which platforms you wanted it to go to, and then it could ultimately post to them on a schedule. But I think Instagram pulled all those API hooks and stuff at some point in time.
What on earth is an API hook?
API.
API. What does API stand for?
API hook. I don't remember what API stands for, but it's...
Do you have the machine, Chase?
I do. Basically allows you to...
Stand for anything, apparently. Just says a set of functions and procedures allowing creation of applications that access
application programming interface.
Application programming interface. Oh, there it is down in there.
Wikipedia. It's right over there in the little window.
Yeah. So basically what it does, it's a piece of code that allows you to use or interact with an existing piece of software or platform. So they can say, we have an API that allows you to post from third-party apps or something like that. Well, Instagram doesn't give that, at least not now. I don't know if – I think they did at one time, or people found a way around it at one time or whatever happened. And so you can't do that. The closest you can get is like repost, where you can copy the link and then you can repost it.
That's kind of what Later does, is similar to repost. It'll copy and paste everything in there for you, but it's – and you can schedule them and it'll like send you a little notification reminder and stuff. But yeah, there you can – do a quick Google search on the dimensions for any platform, and it'll tell you the best resolution. It changes monthly, probably on most phones.
Constantly
changes on the sizes and dimensions that they require. But it does resize, like you guys are both doing. Like you downsize it just probably for some file size or whatever. But
yeah, they're using Instagram's using Canada as a guinea pig right now, where they're not showing likes anymore. So on my Instagram, it will say Tony Roseland and Paul and others have liked this post, and they won't tell you how many people have liked it.
Yeah, it doesn't give you a number, huh?
Nope. Testing that and getting rid of that.
They always use Canada as a guinea pig, apparently.
Is that for the user? Like you don't even know how many?
So I can click on it, and at the top it will say that 193 people have liked this, and I can see the list. But if Tony were to click on... or if I was on Tony's Instagram page and it said that Chase, Paul, and others have liked it, and I clicked on others, I think I can only see a certain, maybe the first 30 people, and I don't know anything after that.
It doesn't tell you even the number?
There's no number. You never know.
They test all this shit on Canada,
Because we're nice up there. And if it pisses us off bad enough, they're like, fuck, we shouldn't probably not roll that out.
They're like, shit, even Canada's complaining about this. Yeah. So we got another question. When scouting for a location, does it happen you have to go on your own? And how much time do you usually take on site for a medium-sized building for an art shoot? Thanks. Love the podcast.
However long it takes.
Yeah, I typically allot. So I typically allot 60 minutes for a scout of an average scout. If it's a huge thing and they have a huge, expecting to have a huge shot list, or I know it's a huge venue, then I'll allot 90 minutes. Obviously, you don't know the shot list before you go, but sometimes they're like, yeah, this is a great project. We're going to want to get tons of photos. Better schedule.
Or it could be a big area, like a college campus or something.
Yeah, something huge. Like when we shot Gonzaga last year, we knew that was going to be huge. So I allowed 90 minutes for scout. In fact, I think we did like a 2-hour scout on that thing. So
what are you going to do? You're going to leave early?
Yeah, the scout. It's done.
Yeah, definitely a lot extra time. like, don't schedule a scout an hour before you have to pick your kids up or some shit like that, because it'll come back to bite you. Ask me how I know. But so do you have to go on your own? I do scout on my own sometimes. Usually smaller projects, maybe that they just need exteriors. I don't need an architect to go with me for that. I can go by certain times a day, see what the best light is going to be, and then I can figure it out from there. For interiors, I always like to go through with someone from the design or architecture team so they can tell me what's important to them. You know, I get a feeling, even if they're not directly telling me, just by walking through a space and hearing them talk about the space, you can get a pretty good idea of what gets them excited about it, what some of the challenges were, you know, what some of the special features are in it, and you can make a mental note of that stuff so that when you go back to actually shoot it, you can make sure to keep that in mind for some of your compositions. So how about you? Do you, you don't really scout stuff though, right?
Mm-mm. No.
He doesn't need to.
No, I'm that good.
He's that good.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
one of these days.
Come on. How come you don't scout? Why?
Most of the jobs that I shoot are for kitchen companies, bath companies, interior designers. They're on site with me the whole time, so there's no need for a prior scout.
What happens if you get there and something's foobarred that should have been addressed prior to your shoot, and now you're biting into your shoot day because they have to fix the stuff that's not complete correct,
or something,
or their light bulbs are burnt out, or the faucet hasn't been installed yet correctly, or whatever it is. I mean,
have
is
you had
it,
any
you
issues
never
like
got
that?
There and
I have,
and
yeah.
Have issues. I mean, it seems like that's something that could be sorted out prior to shoot day through a scout, and that's exactly why I do that.
Or do they provide a shot list to you already so you know? Or?
No, never. It's I usually show up and when I show up, they're usually like it's a frantic like frenzy of them trying to prop the place and get it ready. So they'll be like, "We're going to be propping the kitchen. Can you go shoot the master?" And then I'll go shoot the master because they had pre-propped that, and I'll come out and shoot the kitchen. They'll be propping that, and then it's so never.
My guess, them being there takes care of any little.
Yeah, because they're I just move around, and my clients know that I'm usually about an hour a shot. So yeah.
Doesn't it make sense though that if you went and scouted the location with the designer or architect or whatever, and you were in the kitchen and it was 9:30 a.m. on your scout, and you're like, look at the light raking across this kitchen dining table. This is amazing. Let's make sure we shoot this first when I come back on shoot day. So then they know to prop that first, mm-hmm. instead of propping the master bedroom first, and you don't get there and they're frantically propping the master bedroom.
I mean,
and it's like, hey, we're missing our light in the kitchen. I mean, this is all stuff that can be sorted out on a scout. It seems to me that that would be an opportunity.
The difference between residential and commercial is that these are people's usually private residences. You're not going to be bothering these homeowners on behalf of the designer. You know, multiple times prior to a shoot to figure out what time the light's raking across, because maybe shoot day the light isn't raking across. I'm not going to go to a private residence and maybe, I mean, people don't, you know, clean their house first.
Fair enough.
You know, so.
Fair enough. What about like the model homes or the builder spec homes, like some of the stuff you've done with, Millstone and some of these where they're not occupied yet.
Yeah. With those ones, They basically give me free reign, so I'll usually book a day for a shoot, and if I happen to book it for Wednesday and it's cloudy that day, or if I book it for that day and there is light raking across and I missed it, or I noticed that there's light later in the day, I have the luxury of going back the next day. I don't mind doing that. That's something that if I am in there and I'm like, holy shit, I totally missed that sunlight blasting in through, you know, the bathroom late in the day, I'm going to come back tomorrow and I can take that shot, so... Really, I think with residential it's a little bit different than commercial, because commercial you're able to go ahead of time. You're not inconveniencing anybody. I mean, there's always people in those spaces, but
what about you, Paul, in what you do? I mean, obviously you're not doing a lot of photography, but in the initial consultation with a client, like they want to get with you because they want to have some kind of, you know, branding work done. Do you sit down with them and how much time do you allot for that first meeting? Do you bill for that first meeting, or is that something that you're just kind of feeling each other out? You know, how does that work?
Yeah, I don't necessarily know if this is norm or not, but I kind of go back to that relationship building thing that I talked about earlier. Is that part's important to me. And that's, for me, that's my way of building a relationship with a long-term goal, right? Like to have that client more than just this one project. And so, yeah, I do. I try and meet in person as much as possible. That's changing slowly as I start building some clientele out of the area. Starting to try and create norms for that, because I've got like I said, got some clients in Seattle, got some clients in California, and started to grow a little bit. And so trying to adjust some of that stuff. But yeah, I always try and meet in person whenever I can. And no, I don't bill for it unless... No, I generally don't. I generally don't bill for it unless it's part of, you know, I try to get a feel for the client ahead of time. So if I know that there's going to be a lot of meetings, they're long-winded, the meetings are longer than normal, then I bid accordingly. I you know, come up with my estimate accordingly and know that, hey, I'm going to have to meet with this client more than normal. I'm going to have to, you know, show them things a little more deeper than I think, you know, a normal client would be. And so I'll adjust the pricing accordingly, you know, typically. So
cool. Well, I think with that, we're going to have to start to wrap up here. We're going to have to do Barry's bookshelf. But before we get to that, do you have one piece of advice that you can give, since our audience is mostly photographers? If you had to give one piece of advice to a photographer in regards to marketing or branding, what would that one piece of advice be?
I mean, touch on what we talked about earlier, but I think that doing something, create something that you can give to someone and go give it to someone, you know, that, I mean, at the very core breakdown of what it is in that relationship building, design something, print something, hand them something as whatever your budget fits, do that. And then as your budget grows, do it more. You know,
so something tangible,
something they can touch, something they can see. Hopefully it's nice enough that they don't want to throw it away and they're going to open the cover and look at it, whatever it is, have them touch it, see it, feel it, do it.
Right on. Good advice.
I got a piece of advice for photographers. Don't put a fucking camera or an aperture in your logo.
And also don't put watermarks on your stuff.
Yeah, don't put watermarks on your shit.
If you're putting an aperture in your logo, can you just don't do that?
Don't do it.
What do you, Paul, what do you think about a photographer with an aperture? Did you see our one logo that I recently created with the aperture? It was like a camera.
I did see that. That was,
yeah. People thought that was legit, dude. He was getting like feedback on it.
People were like, well,
they literally thought that was weird.
You know, there's several fields like that where it's like people feel like they just have to do it. And it's like, no, you don't. You can be something else. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
That's amazing. Yeah. All right. So Barry's bookshelf. Barry, what do you got up for us this week, brother?
I don't like being put on the spot because I've been traveling and I haven't been reading. Well, I have been reading. Tony,
it can be anything.
I know you don't like to be touched,
shelf.
But I'm going to touch you.
It doesn't have to be what you're reading right now. That's why it's called Barry's Bookshelf. Dust one off and give it to us, man.
I don't know if I've talked about this before. I used to be a huge fan of Chuck Palahniuk. And the first thing that jumped into my mind is the book Haunted. And it's a book. For those that don't know, Chuck Palahniuk wrote Fight Club. He wrote the book Choke. They were both made into movies. He has Survivor, a whole bunch of other ones. But the one Haunted is a series of short stories. And there's one about pearl diving that stands out. And if you don't know what pearl diving is, you could always Google that.
Shouldn't I Google image search it?
I don't know if you're going to see what you want to see.
Okay. I see.
Maybe you will.
Pearl.
Well, look at this. They're hunting. Yeah. They're actually looking for pearls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All righty.
Well, this is, yeah, you got to go to like... Urban Dictionary.
Alrighty.
That was fun.
So what's the name of the book?
It is Haunted by Chuck Palahniuk. Also, this is funny. My buddy knew that I had this big obsession with Chuck Palahniuk back in the day, and he happened to meet him in person at a book signing, and he got a bath mat in the shape of a steak sign that says, "To the Swizzler, Chucky P."
Mm-hmm.
And I have a steak shaped bath mat signed by Mr. Chuck Palahniuk.
Do you step out of the bath every day into that, or
I don't go in the bath.
Shower. You don't take showers either?
Well, I take showers, yeah.
Okay.
Every day.
All right. Well.
Yeah.
Cool. So with that, Paul, where do people find you on the worldwide webs?
I am at pterrell.com. Terrell. P as in Paul. Paul Terrell was taken.
Really?
quick short story
some
there.
Asshole.
Yeah, some asshole's sitting on it. So
mine
I can't
was
have
taken
my
too,
name.
Man. That's why I have Barry Mac photos.
Yeah, so I went with pterrell.com. But it's in
the
pterrell design on social media.
Was your name taken or pterrell no one
design?
It?
No, mine. I got it.
Yeah, I put in pterrell.com in the web browser. And it says your connection is not private. Attackers might be trying to steal your
damn,
information.
Dude.
That's not
see?
Good.
I
that's
don't
not you,
be an
right?
Attacker.
Is that you?
No, I'm not.
That's not you, right?
I don't want to be attacked either.
All right. So, and on social media,
pterrell design.
P. Terrell Design.
Everywhere, right? Or just one place?
Primarily Instagram, but
do you
Facebook
tweet?
Out
do you tweet?
There. Here and there, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I'm more of a watcher of tweets than a tweeter of tweets. Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so Chase, where do they find you?
Instagram and Twitter, Chase_Warnick. I don't post to Twitter, but I do browse it, but yeah.
Barry Mack?
You can find me on Instagram, SWIZZLER.
No one knows what that means in the U.S.
Z.
Extra Zeddy.
Z.
And I am Tony Roseland. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. That is it for episode 6. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll catch you on the next one. We have Jason Rayner coming up next week, and Aaron Nace the week after that from Flurn. So
wait, the Aaron Nace?
The Aaron Nace. Oh, so, I will or listen. The Jason Rayner, however you want to look
the
at it.
The Jason Rayner. Jason Rayner is my hero.
Yeah, so a couple good guests coming up soon, but that's it for this week, guys. Thanks a lot. We're out of here. We'll be right back.